Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to Daf Chof Hey, we will notice a little bit less than halfway down the page a new Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Nishpach Hadam Al Horitzpa V'Osfoy Posel. If the blood of the behemoth is not received in a Kli Shoreis, in the Mizrak, but rather it spills directly after the slaughtering, directly onto the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban is rendered pasul. In other words, there's no option offered of trying to gather up the blood from the floor. That's what the Mishnah says when it says V'osfo, pasul. The gathering up from the floor does not help the situation. The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and you can see in our Gemara marking system, all Tanaic sources are framed so as to set them aside from the rest of the Gemara literature. The Pasuk says, V'lokach ha-Koyin ha-Moshiach midam ha-par. And the Koyin will take the blood from the animal. We now darshan this and establish different details. Midam ha-nefesh, velo midam ha-or, velo midam ha-tamtzis. The required dam, the required blood for the korban process is what's known as dam ha-nefesh. Maybe we can refer to it as the life blood. This is to the exclusion of blood that may emerge from the skin. That's not the life blood. That would simply be a superficial bruise. And not from dam ha-tamsis. Dam ha-tamsis is that blood that continues to flow out of an organism, out of a creature, after the lifeblood has already come out. So the dam ha-tamsis, the dam that of the dripping blood, if you will, that comes out after the dam ha-nefesh, is not acceptable for zrikas adam of a korban, the sprinkling of the blood of a sacrifice. The pasuk said midam ha-par. And we darshan this as follows. Dam mehapar yekablenu. The blood is to be received directly from the animal. And this is to the exclusion of the situation where it spills on the floor and then it's gathered up. There, it wasn't received from the animal. It was received from the floor. The Gemara is at this point starting a long point, which began at the end of the Brisa, where we said, Midam hapar, dame hapar yikablenu. This long point is illustrated by our markings through a nun that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this dashed vertical line form the point. The I salka daitoch, the Gemara continues, Midam hapar kirichtiv, that if one is to think that we take the pasuk literally, as it is written, mi dam vafilu mitzas dam, the word mi dam, the mem, is a limitation letter, meaning from the blood and not all of it. Well, if you are to think that way, to read the pasuk literally, you'll find that that's simply not true la halacha. The halacha doesn't accept that approach of taking just part of the dam. Part of the dam, of course, we're focusing on the dam hanefesh. The ha'omar rav ha'shoichet tzorech shikabalas kol domoi shalpar. That when slaughtering a sacrifice, one must receive all of the blood. Shenemar v'es kol domoi yishpoich. Ela, so then what does that leave us with? Midam hapar equals the posuk that we started off with, therefore must mean dam mehapar yikablenu. V'kosavar, and in order to achieve this conclusion, namely taking the words midam hapar and explaining it as dam mehapar, that you are to receive the blood from the cow, from the animal, how do we do that? V'kosavar gurin u'moisifin v'dorshin. And we'll explain. Literally, gurin is you detract, mosifin is then attach, and then explain. So if you focus on the words midam hapar, you'll notice that there is the mem from the first word, midam, the mem, you take that off, and you attach it to the second word. So if you take off the mem from the word midam, you're left with dam. Take the mem and then attach it to the second word, hapar, you get mehapar. And that's what we're explaining, dam mehapar, to gather or to receive the blood in a service vessel, in a mizrak, which is the name of the vessel, to receive it directly from the par, from the animal. Gufa, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. This is a quote of what was mentioned before. Hashochet tzorech sheyekabel es kol domoy shel par. The one who slaughters a sacrifice must receive all of the blood. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'es kol dam hapar yishpoch." The Gemara asks, "How can you use this pasuk to teach me the din of kabbalas hadam? Kabbalas hadam is a process that takes place at the point of the slaughtering. V'ha b'shirayim ksiv. Is it not so that this pasuk is written in the context of the pouring out of the residue blood, the blood that remains after the Zrikas Adam, a much later stage?" So once again, since this pasuk is referring to Shvichas Shirayim, this pouring out of the remaining blood, how can that be used as an instruction regarding a much earlier stage, the Kabbalas Adam? The Gemara answers, "Im eino inyan l'shirayim, toholese l'kulei dam." If this pasuk, though it's written in the context of the shirayim, though it cannot be taken literally as referring to the shirayim, because when your shirayim by definition is the remaining dam, it's by definition not all of the dam. So how can you read the pasuk when it says es kol dam hapar, all of the par's dam, when you're dealing with the shirayim stage, which doesn't have all of the dam, or it's part of it has already been used in the sprinkling? Therefore, we have to take the pasuk out of its context. Teneu inyan le kabbalah. Have it therefore refer to the initial receiving of the dam at the point of shchit, at the slaughtering point. This idea of im eino inyan, Teneu inyan, is one of the special aspects of the oral tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh. This is not something that one would be able to do on his own or through some type of simple logical explanation or logical approach. One needs the Torah Shebaal Peh to give license to take a pasuk from one context and apply it to something else. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Hashochet tzorech shiagbia sakin mala. The one who's slaughtering a sacrifice must be diligent in raising the knife upwards. In other words, he cuts the neck and the appropriate simonim, the trachea, esophagus, and immediately should raise the knife above. And this is to prevent blood dripping from the knife into the mizrak, into the receiving vessel. Once again, we don't want blood dripping from the knife into the mizrak, into the receiving vessel. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'lokach midam hapar. V'lo midam hapar v'dovor achir. We want you to take from the blood of the cow alone, and not from the blood of the cow and from the knife. The Gemara asks, "V'dam sakin b'mayim kaneachle." So, What is one to do with the blood that's on the knife? Let us say he wants to use the knife for another korban. How does he clean off the knife? Omar Abaye, Bisfas Mizrak. He rubs the knife along the outside edge of the Mizrak, of the receiving vessel, and it's emphasized outside edge, so in such a way that the dam does not fall back into, doesn't fall, drip into the vessel itself with the dam that you will need for Zrikas Adam later. Kidichtiv, the Gemara points out that the Mizrak, the name given of the name the Torah gives to the Mizrak is Kippurei Zahav. The word Kippurei means to cleanse, so that the Pasuk itself is sensitive to the idea or aware of the idea that the Mizrak is used for cleaning off something. It cleans off, it's used for cleaning off the knife. Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Hashochet Tzorech Shiyitein Vridin L'soich Hakli. The one who slaughters an animal must be careful or diligent in making sure that the main arteries, the neck arteries, are placed over the Mizrak, over the kli used for Kabbalah Saddam. Notice the Gemara itself says L'tocha kli, which would, if you translated that literally, it would mean you place the arteries into the receiving vessel. That is virtually impossible to do, and Rashi is sensitive to this, and therefore he explains that the arteries are over the kli. They're in the over the airspace of the kli. Rashi points this out on the top line. He says v'hai toich. The word toch in the Gemara is lav davka. It doesn't. It means it is not to be taken literally. The hal lo efsher. It's impossible to have the arteries in the vessel. Elo al aviro. Shell toch kli. Rather, they should be over the airspace of the inside of the kli. The Gemara continues. Itmar nami Omar Rav Asi Omar Rav Yochanan vridim tzorich shiru avir kli. The arteries must be positioned in such a way that they are positioned over the airspace of the vessel, of the Mizrak. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading. Avir, airspace, shesoifoi, or ein soifoi, lonuach, kemunach domi oiloi. When you have a vessel that is supposed to receive something, in this case it's supposed to receive the dam, and let us say the bottom falls out before the dam gets into the vessel, that's called avir she'ein sofo lonuach. Is it viewed as if it has been, as if it has been received in the vessel? Nafkamina, our note continues to nafkamina legabi. This question has a practical application with regard to a couple areas. One area is Kabbalas Mayim Chayim Lepor Aduma, the drawing of the water from a live spring for the purposes of processing eventually the ashes of the Pora Aduma, of the red heifer that's used for being metayer people, for cleansing people that were in a state of Tumas Meis. The realm of Poraduma involves the mixing of the ashes of that cow that is eventually burnt on Haraz Esim, mixing those ashes with water that comes from a live spring. So the issue of drawing the water into a vessel is prominent in this particular area. The Pasuk talks about, says that you draw the water, and it says Mayim Chayim El Kli, or El Keli, as it's read in the Torah, Mayim Chaim El Kli. There's another area of halacha, Kabbalas Dam Bemizrak. That's the area that we've been speaking about till now. The receipt of the blood in the Mizrak, the receiving vessel. We have a little note here before we go into the sugya, but it's helps us gain a certain perspective, and we call this he'ora, a note. Im magdirim, if we classify shesoifoi lonuach kemunach domi, that something that is in the airspace of something that eventually will be considered coming to rest. In other words, the avir shesofo lonuach is kemunach domi. Yesh boze kula v'chumra. This has in it a point of leniency and a point of restriction built in. Legabi dam kula. With regard to Kabbalah Sadam, the fact that we say that the avir she'ein sofo lonuach, airspace that eventually it won't come to stop there because the bottom falls out, but we're going to view it as kemunach domi. With regard to the dam, there's a leniency. That leniency is manifest by the fact that since it's considered munach in the kli, since it's considered as if it had come to rest in the kli, if it then spills out onto, it'll spill onto the floor, it can be gathered up, because this dam is dam that was received properly. It was received directly from the cow into the vessel. That the bottom fell out. We are going to be looking at that possibly as kemunach dami. And we know that if dam spills from a vessel onto the floor, one is able to gather it up. However, in the case of the mei pora, legabi mei pora, our note continues, yehei chumra, there will be a stringency. Dekvar nechshav munach bekli. In the case of the Gemara, we'll have to see the case of the chovis. Shelo husam l'shom, or l'shem, mei paraduma. So if you say that avir shesofo lonuach is viewed as kemunach domi, if the eventuality of the flow of water is going to be into a vessel that's unfit for receiving the water, even before it gets to it, it will be considered as if it's in that unfit vessel, and hence the water will be rendered unuseful for the Pora Aduma process. So let us now turn to the Gemara and appreciate the details of some of the points we made in the introduction as we go on. Bominei, and we should note that we have a question here that lasts a few lines, and we indicate that through the long question marking, a shin that's positioned to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. Bominei Rabbi Asi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Asi asks of Rabbi Yochanan, Hoya Mekabel? We also should point out before we go further that there's a triangle that appears to the immediate left-hand side. It's numbered one, and there will be two more, and there's a total of three triangles. This is indicated in our Mivneh heading in the margin, where you see a triangle featured. Gimel l'shenois b'meh hoiso she'ilas Rav Asi u'tshuvas Rav Yochanan. There'll be three versions as to what Rav Asi's question was and how Rav Yochanan answered it. The first version, as you can see, is much longer, but the second and third versions will be drawing on information that we see here in this first version. So the Gemara continues with the Rav Asi posing a question to Rav Yochanan. Hoya Mekabel, a Kohen is involved with Kabbalah Sadam. The Nifchesu Shule Mizrak. Nifchesu is opened up. Nifchesu, pochas is something that becomes diminished. So the bottom of the vessel, the Shule, is the bottom of the Mizrak. The bottom fell out. Ad sheloi higia dam la'avir. When did the bottom fall out? It fell out before the blood got to a position within, before it entered the area, the airspace contained within the walls, the side walls of the vessel. So if we can imagine momentarily, the blood was in midair, and at that point, the bottom of the vessel fell out. Rashi points out, third line from the top, Ad shelo yigia dam la'avir mizrak. What does that mean, avir mizrak? Lebein doifnei mizrak. It did not get to the area between the walls of the receiving vessel. Be'oid hadam lemalo mehen. The blood is above the edge of the vessel at this point, at the point the question is being raised. However, umiu al keneged aviro hein. However, the dam is not off to the side of the vessel, it's over, it's in the airspace over the vessel, the Havridin Royan Avir Kliboinen, as we mentioned before, that the Vridin, the arteries of the animal's neck, must be positioned over the receiving vessel. So this question is focusing on a very specific situation where the blood is over the vessel, but not within the airspace defined by the walls of the vessel. So it's in the airspace, meaning over, we can say over the airspace of the vessel, and at that point the bottom falls out, and now the question continues, Mahu. Avir she'ein soifoi lonuach. Kemunach domi oi loi kemunach domi. When you have a situation like this of airspace, which is part of a vessel in which the dam will not eventually come to rest because the bottom falls out, so that when the dam gets to the airspace contained within the walls of the vessel, the dam isn't going to stop because the bottom fell out. So it's this situation. Once again, before the dam gets to the airspace contained within the walls of the vessel, the bottom falls out. Can we view this as munach domi, as in our mind's eye, as if it comes to rest? In other words, when the dam enters the airspace contained within the walls of the vessel, that is sufficient. It's considered as if it came to rest. Or no, or we say that we look at the physicality, the actuality, and in actuality it does not come to rest. What defines the halacha? The legal definition or the physical reality? Omar lay, so Rav Yochanan responds, Tanisuha. We can draw from information found regarding the Kiddush Mei Porah. This has to do with the preparation of the water, the drawing of the water for the Porah Duma ashes. In order to appreciate this Gemara, we've supplied a crude drawing, and I'm not sure if the drawing will be sufficiently clear to explain this Gemara, but with the drawing and possibly using Rashi's explanation, we'll be able to come to some sense of the Gemara. Before going further, we want to point out that the Porah Aduma process requires water from a live spring. In this case, we're going to be talking about water coming from a spring that's running off a mountain. It's important that the water coming from the spring is drawn into a vessel that's positioned there for receiving the water for the purpose of the Porah Duma. If the water is gathered in a vessel by happenstance, and then I decide to use it for the Porah Aduma, that is not sufficient. So we have a diagram that one can see on the page of our Gemara. There's a mountain, and there's a pipe contains water that it originates from a live spring, and it's running in this what's called Sinor, and it's running off the mountain at an angle. In other words, it's running beyond the side of the mountain. We have illustrated chovios, barrels or receiving vessels, and we're going to be talking about barrels that are there without Pora Aduma intention. We'll feature a smaller vessel that's each one of which is labeled Aleph and Beis to correspond to the different circumstances that will be discussed. So we'll have case Roman numeral number 1, where the water is running off the mountain at a distance, and Roman numeral number 2, where the chovis is positioned very close to the tzinor. And in each case, we will talk about a small vessel that one is going to be using with the intention of the Pora Aduma. So, as things go, we have the chovis in the story that's there that would receive the water if there's no intervention on the part of an interested party, someone who's interested in getting water for the Pora Aduma. If there was no intervention, the water eventually would flow into one of these chovios. And if it gets into the chovis, the water will not be suitable for the Pora Aduma. So there is an eventuality of the water entering a negative situation. What is the din if I intervene? Do we emphasize the inevitability or the situation that would result had I not been there? Or does my intervention make a difference? Let's see the Gemara now. So Rabbi Yochanan, in confronting the question of Avir She'ein Sof Lanuach, says, well, you can resolve the question from the following situation. It's going to be very important to note that the situation featured here actually does not correspond to the question. And the Gemara itself will point out this seeming inconsistency. But for the time being, we have to play along, so to speak, with the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if you're going to be asking right now about Avir She'ein Soifei Lenuach, is it Kemunach Domi or not? Is it viewed halachically as coming to rest or not? Let's see the case involving the Pora Aduma. Tenisuha. We have a Tanaic source, as we mentioned. This is from the topic of Mei Pora Aduma. Chovis Shemunachas Tachas Hazinuk. This is a barrel or a jar, a receiving vessel, that's placed at a distance from a mountain, off of which is running water from a live spring. And it's pointed out that the position of this barrel is off at a distance. Rashi emphasizes that. Mayim shebesocha v'shebechutza la psulin. Water that is besocha, meaning in the airspace of the barrel, that's entered the airspace of the within the walls of the barrel, and shebechutzala is water above the edge of the barrel, are psulin, are unacceptable. So that if even though the water is not in the barrel itself, and what we're saying is, even if I were to come along and try to catch the water before it gets into the barrel, it's considered pasul already because of this eventuality. We are thereby concluding that avir, that airspace, water while in airspace, in the air, is considered kemunach. It's considered as if it's already inside, already at rest in the barrel. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice there's a bracketed section. And the reason for the brackets is the Iker, the main point of this discussion, is really derived from the Reisha of the source. However, since we have the source, we continue, and in our crude illustration, we attempt to illustrate this section as well. Tsiref piha lazinuk. If the chavis is located at the exit point of the water of the pipe coming off the mountain, mayim shebesocha psulin, water that's in the airspace within the walls of the chavis are unacceptable. The shebechutza lo ksherim. However, in this particular picture, if I have my intervention vessel, the vessel that I want to catch the water with for the Paraduma, in this case, the intervention vessel is placed right up alongside the pipe. In other words, the edge of my receiving vessel is at a point that's not exactly within the walls of the chavis, then it would be kosher. Let us go over the Rashi to appreciate this. Hopefully with the Rashi and combined with our crude illustrations, one can come to some form of clarity. We're looking at Rashi a little bit above here. Chavis shemunach tachas hazinuk. Tzinor hamekaleach mayim mehar zokuf. A pipe that through which there is running water, and we're mentioning this is water from a live spring, which is a necessity for the Paraduma, and it's running through this pipe coming off of a steep mountain. Vakiluach mekaleach lemerachok, and the stream is flowing out at a distance. In other words, the water is flowing; it'll be flowing a distance away from the mountain. The noifel luchavis, and the water will flow into a barrel. The chavis zu eino munachas shom l'shem kiddush meipora. Mechatos, and the chavis was not placed there with the intention of use as part of the mechatos, which is a reference to the Paraduma. Mayim shebesoicha v'shebechutzava psulin. Klomar, this means to say, shelo yiten kli l'soich avira v'yochzenu biyadu l'kabelbo hakiluach l'kiddush. One should not hold a smaller vessel in the airspace of the walls of the chavis in an attempt to catch the water for the Paraduma. In other words, that will not be acceptable. V'af loy chutzala l'malo me'ogneho k'neged avira. And likewise, as we have illustrated in our illustration, Roman numeral number 1, the little bays vessel, that's positioned above the edges of the chavis, over the airspace. That too will not be acceptable. The kevon shigiu mayim kineged avira, since the water reached a point over the airspace, harehen kemunochem besocha uposak lochiu saihu. It's as if the water legally it's considered as if the water is in the barrel already, and its chius, its live aspect, has come to an end. Vanan mayim chayim el kli bo'inon l'kiddush. We require that the water in its chai state, it's hard to describe water as being alive, but we're talking about water from a live spring, it must enter the designated vessel before it comes to rest in something else. And we're saying over here that when it's in the airspace of the improper or the unfit vessel, because it was placed there without a Paraduma intention, once it reaches the airspace, the airspace meaning over the airspace, as as opposed to the expression within the walls of the airspace, within the airspace defined by the walls, we're talking about over the airspace, that already renders it unfit. Alma, we conclude, avir kemunach domi, that airspace is considered as if it is at rest. Rashi points out the question we raised before, ulekame parach, later in the Gemara say, well, the illustration of the chavis does not parallel the issue of the blood. Hai avir shesoifoi lonuach hu. This is a worse case scenario. In this case, the water will come to rest. It will come to rest in that barrel if I don't intervene. Whereas in the original question, we were describing a situation where the bottom fell out before it entered the walls of the vessel. And hence, that would be a different situation. Rashi goes on, explaining now the seifa, the second part of the Tanaic source, which we said we really want to de-emphasize. With our markings in the Rashi, we attempted to, with the dashed underline, we attempted to emphasize the main point for our Gemara. Tzireif piho lazinuk, Rashi continues, she'ein avir mafsik bein piho lazinuk. There is no, we say in this case that there's no airspace between or separating or that exists between the barrel and the flow off the mountain. So as we have illustrated in case Roman numeral number 2 in our crude diagram, you can see that the chavis is positioned right at the edge of the pipe so that there's no flow at any distance. Shebesocha, Rashi continues, klomar shebo lesoch avir doifnesel psulim. That's illustrated by the lower, smaller internal vessel. Once the water enters the walls of the, once it enters the area contained within the walls of the chavis, the water is unacceptable. Shebechutzela, water that's outside, afapi shekeneged avirohein, even though it's over the airspace of the barrel. Ksherin, the water can be kosher if you catch it at that point. In other words, if you catch the water before it enters the airspace of the chavis. Why? Shadayin lo pirshu min atzinor. They haven't become detached from the pipe. Vafilu avir ein kan, as a result of there still being in the pipe running off the mountain, so we don't have a problem of it being considered avir. It's not in airspace yet, and it's therefore considered mayim chayim still. Turning back to the Gemara. Before we continue the reading of the Gemara, we want to just recapitulate. We had a question concerning the status of the blood when it's in the over the airspace of the receiving vessel, not within the walls yet. And at that point, at that exact point in time, the bottom of the receiving vessel falls out. We want to define what is the status of the liquids. We're talking about blood and we're talking about water. What's the status of the liquids when they are over the airspace of the vessel? Are they considered within, are they considered at rest within the vessel or not? That was the question. We then tried to answer the question, Rabbi Yochanan tried to answer it with the case of the chavis and the mei paraduma and the water coming from the live spring for the paraduma. And at this point, the Gemara asks on the answer. Hi, my. What are you talking about? Boi mine avir she'ein sofaluach. The question concerned an issue of blood in the airspace of a vessel that eventually it would not come to stop in it, to rest in it, because the bottom fell out. V'kaposhit lei avir she'sofay lenuach. And Rabbi Yochanan tries to answer the question with an example of something of the water in the airspace of a vessel in which the bottom does not fall out. We have a little a star we drew into the Rashi to enable us to find it immediately. So going down the page a bit into the, in the narrow lines, you'll see we read the Rashi, Dilma hai dechoshiv le kemunach. It might be that in the case of the Chavis, that the water that was over the airspace of the Chavis, as we try to illustrate in our little Roman numeral number 1 Bayes diagram, there it's considered kemunach, it's as if it's in the Chavis already, mishum deroy hoyalanuach, because it's fit to come to rest in the barrel, in the Chavis. Sharei Chavis zu shlema. The Chavis is complete. It's whole. The roy hoya lonuach ilo shiva zevekolat. And it was, it, its eventuality would have been one of coming to rest in the Chavis had I not come along and gathered and caught it beforehand. Aval nifchesu shulei mizrok. But in the original question where the bottom of the mizrok fell out, lo hoya osid veroi lenuach. It wasn't going to come to rest in the mizrok in the first place. The Gemara answers. We're trying to understand this give and take in the Gemara. The Gemara answers, Tarti ka bo'i mine. The original question was a twofold question. And as far as the answer that was provided, the answer was provided only with regard to one of the questions. As follows, Im tintze lomar avir she'ein soifoi lonuach lav kemunach domi. If regarding the question of avir she'ein soifoi lonuach, of where the bottom of a vessel falls out, if regarding that case you tell me, you conclude that, well, since the bottom fell out before it entered the walls of the vessel, it's considered lav kemunach domi. It's not considered as if it came to rest in the vessel. What about this case? Avir shesoifei lenuach mai. How are we to view the airspace above a vessel that remains complete? If uninterrupted, the liquid would come to rest. And as far as the answer that Rabbi Yochanan provided, he provided an answer with regard to the case of avir shesofa lenuach. But as far as the issue of avir she'ein sofa lenuach, he didn't address that case directly. Rashi points out, and it's based on Rashi that we're offering our explanation. Rashi says, Tarti bo amine, uposhat le chado minayo. Two questions were asked, and one of the questions is that which was answered. In other words, we said that in the case of avir she sofo lenuach, that is kemunach domi. But as far as a case of avir she'ein sofo lenuach, that is open. That remains open. And it could be that in that case, it's considered lav kemunach domi, and as we said in our introduction, with regard to mei pora duma, that would actually result in a kula. But in the case of the Kabbalah Saddam, that would be a chumra. Continuing in Gemara, we have a triangle. This triangle actually corresponds to the number 1 that we had opposite the third line of the Gemara. Rav Yosef Masni Hochi. Rav Yosef teaches the question of Rav Asi and the answer of Rav Yochanan as we just finished learning. In other words, the question involved Avir Shesofa Lenuach and Avir She'en Sofa Lenuach. In other words, Rav Yosef says that is what took place between Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi asked about those cases. Rav Kahana Masni. Rav Kahana has a totally different version. Now, this version is based on the idea or the assumption that when the question was asked, when Rav Asi asked the question, he was unfamiliar with the source dealing with the Chavis and the flow off the mountain. So if we make that assumption that Rav Asi was unfamiliar with that source, therefore, Chavis Bo'amine, Rav Asi asked about the case of the chavis. What is the din with regard to the water over the barrel that was placed there? Shelo l'shem paraduma. Uposhat le chavis. And Rabbi Yochanan answered the question by citing this source. Once again, Rav Asi raised, we'll call it, an innocent question concerning chavis. Innocent, we mean Rav Asi raised the question without having any prior knowledge of a Tanaic source that deals with it. And Rav Yochanan introduced Rav Asi to a source that answers his question. Rava, this is a third version of what took place. Rabo masni, chavis bo mine, that Rav Asi's question concerned the Pora Aduma water, the whole question concerning the Chavis, Uposhat Le Mizrak, and Rabbi Yochanan answered him that you can learn learn the answer for your question concerning the Chavis from the case of Kabbalas Hadam, as follows: I ata moide b'mizrak she'i efshir loy below Zinuk, would you not concede that in the case of the Mizrak, the blood comes into the Mizrak? How exactly does the blood come into the Mizrak? So, we mentioned that the arteries of the animal are positioned over the receiving vessel. However, the blood, when it comes out of the animal, it comes out with a certain degree of force. So that when it comes out of the animal, the blood doesn't drop directly in a vertical descent. But rather, there's blood force, so that even though there's the vessel is positioned underneath the neck of the animal, the blood itself flows, we'll say horizontally or diagonally for a little while, and then enters the vessel. So in a sense, we can say that the dam is coming through the airspace, it's coming over the airspace of the vessel, and then enters the vessel. It would be, we have a crude illustration to assist in understanding this Gemara. Whether or not the illustration is sufficient, the listening audience will have to pass judgment on it. But we have on the side of our Gemara an illustration of a receiving vessel and a point at which the artery is located above the airspace of the vessel. And we have an indication with an arrow pointing down that Eino Yored Yoshar, the blood doesn't come from the vreden and fall directly into the vessel, but rather it flows at an angle, as is illustrated by the second arrow, to a little bit to the left, and it's at that point that the blood actually enters the vessel. So it's flowing diagonally. And this information is now explained further by Rashi on the first line under the Gemara text. E ata moida b'mizrak, would you not concede that in the case of the receiving of the dam, she efshur loy below zinuk, kishishoychet al avir hakli, when he does the slaughtering over the airspace of the receiving vessel, ein hadam shoyseis b'mekoymoy, the dam doesn't drip directly vertically downwards. The blood flows over the width of the kli a bit further. And if you're going to classify the airspace of the airspace over a vessel in which it will come to rest, and by the way, this version, this number three version of Rabo's presentation, everything is left parallel here. The Chavis was also a case which was the subject of the question in this version. The Chavis was an issue of Sofo Lonuach, and the case of the Mizrak is a case of Sofo Lonuach. So He goes on, Rashi goes on to say that if you'll say that Avir Shesoifa Lenuach is Lav Kemunach Domi, that it's not considered as if it comes to rest, but rather the Avir Shesofo Lenuach is Lav, if you were to say that it's, if you are to insist that it's Lav Kemunach, Nimsa Kishu Yored Likli, it then comes out that when it eventually enters the vessel, Min ho'avir hu bovelo min hapar, then it's considered as if it's coming from the air and not coming from the cow. Vator omro dami hapar yikablenu, and the Torah insisted, we saw earlier, that the blood must be received directly from the par. Therefore, it's to our benefit, or it's in our interest. And what we really mean to say is the halacha recognizes that in a situation of avir shesoifa lenuach, it's considered kemunach domi. It's considered as if it's already in the vessel. And therefore, it's kosher in the case of the Kabbalas Adam. Because if we would say that it's not considered already at rest, then what is it? It's coming then from the air space, and that's coming from the avir, and not coming, it's not viewed as coming from the cow. Therefore, just to review the point once again, we have to conclude that in the case of Kabbalas Adam, the avir shesofa lenuach is kemunach domi. It's considered as if it's already in the right place. The gabi chovis nami, avir shesofa lenuach, who? Ukemunach domi. And therefore, with regard to the paraduma situation, the water that's in the airspace, over the airspace of a vessel in which it would come to rest, it's considered at that point already as if it's in the vessel. Upsulin. And there it works, as we pointed out in our introduction, it works in the opposite way, and it ruins it. In other words, it works out to be a chumrah. But for our purposes, it doesn't matter whether it's a kula or chumrah. We have to establish, we have to define the status of the liquid when it's hovering over the airspace. Is it considered at rest already in the vessel? And in the case of the Kabbalas Adam, that works to our benefit. And in the case of the Mei Paraduma, it works to our detriment. But it's the same definition, and the halachic results are different. Turning to the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, in the case of Mayim Chayim of Pora Aduma, the Tanaic source says, we have here, we've broken it down into different parts. Number one, Nosan Yodoi Oy Ragloi Oy Ale Yerokais Kedei Shiavru Mayim Lechovis. There is water running from a live spring, and he forms a type of bridge in order for the water to get from the live spring into the receiving vessel. What does he use? He puts his arm there so that the water will continue running from, let us say, the pipe that we illustrated before, and it'll run over his arm into a receiving vessel, or over, he places his foot there, or he places some leaves of vegetable leaves. These are edible leaves. Kedei shi'avru mayim l'chavis, so that the water should flow eventually into the chavis. Psulim. This is an unacceptable situation. However, if he uses a different material to form this bridge for the water to run over, alei konim ve'alei egoizim, these are leaves that are not edible. And as a result of that, they're not mekabel tuma. They're not like food items, or we saw people's limbs, which are items that are mekabel tuma. But here the bridge is made of a substance that's not mekabel tuma. These ale konim or ale egoizim, kshera. Then the water that eventually gets into the chavis will be acceptable. Ze haklal. The rule, this is the rule. Dovar hamekabel tuma psulin. If what's used to direct the water into the chavis is a substance that itself absorbs tuma, so it renders the water unfit. Dover she'enu mekabel tuma ksherim. However, an item that itself is not mekabel tuma allows the water to remain kosher and acceptable. Just parenthetically, the chovis that we're talking about here is not, has no relationship to the chovis that was mentioned in the previous Gemara. Here is a situation where the chovis is placed there with the intention of receiving the water for the mei parah aduma. Here the whole problem arises in the element that I use to direct the water into the chovis. So the halacha, the source we just saw, taught us a rule, and it said that if it's a dover hamakabel tuma, so it will ruin the water. Meno hani mili. What is the source of this this teaching? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi Bar Abba Omar Kra. The posuk says, Ach mayon ubor mikve mayim ye tahor. And we take this expression ye tahor and explain havayoson, they're coming into being, al yedei taro tehe. And when we speak about they're coming into being, it means they're coming into use for our purposes, namely into the vessel, so that the entrance of the water into the vessel must be through a means that is Torah, namely something that's not mekabel tuma. What fits the bill? We mentioned ale konim or ale egozim. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan zoi soy meres. We can conclude from this: avir kli kikli domi. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Zoi soy meres avir kli kikli domi midikotoni nosan yodoi. From the fact that it says that when he places his hand to serve as a bridge to get the water from the spring into the vessel, and it said posal, it ruins it. Do ein hamayim shoisesin miyodo lakli b'shisa. Once again, as we illustrated earlier, when he places his hand to function as a bridge, the water, as it runs over his arm into the barrel, it doesn't drip off his arm or flow off his arm in a vertical downward movement directly into the chavis. Elo b'havora kishe yoytzin miyodo mekafin lehem al penei roichav pi hachavis. As it flows off his hand, it's flowing at an angle so that it doesn't come directly from his hand into the barrel. It flows a bit horizontally and then enters the barrel. V'afilu hachi posel. And even so, even though it's not coming directly from his hand, it's really coming from the air. And nevertheless, it's considered posel. Alma, we therefore conclude, mishiyotsu miyodo, when the water, from the point that the water departs his arm, lekaleach al pnei avir, flowing over the airspace before it lands in the vessel, havilei ki'ilu shosuso miyodo lekli. It's viewed as if it came directly from his arm into the barrel, into the receiving vessel. Shere yodo al keneget sfas hakli munachas. He positions his arm at the very edge of the vessel, and the water runs over his arm, and it continues to run in a horizontal fashion. Umishiyotsu miyodo mekalchin bo'u kenegin aviro. And when the flowing water leaves his arm that's positioned at the edge of the vessel, it runs over the airspace of the vessel, and we said that it's nevertheless posel, because we're saying that at that point that it's in the airspace, it's considered already in the kli. It's all considered already in the vessel. The ilav kikli dummy. Because if we were to say that the avir is not like in the vessel, am I posel? Why should you rule that the water is unacceptable? Halo minho avir bo'in lo. Is it not so that in actuality the water is entering the vessel from the air, from the airspace, from over the airspace? V'havi lei kenoisein yodo b'tzinor moshuch min hakiluach eser amos. And that would be a situation that's, imagine he places his arm at the end of a pipe of live spring water, and the receiving vessel was 10 amos away. Apparently, that situation would have been kosher. The fact that his arm was involved in the picture at some point, that in and of itself doesn't necessarily ruin the water, even though the arm is mekabel tuma. But in our case, the arm presents a problem because it's positioned right at the edge of the vessel. And at the point that it leaves his arm, it then is found, the water is over the airspace of the vessel. And since the rule of avir is considered kemunach domi, it's considered as if it comes directly from his hand into the vessel. And that's a problem. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Amalei Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. We should just note that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is the one that quoted Rabbi Yochanan, that concluded from the halacha of arm placed at edge of barrel, that avir kikli domi. Rabbi Zera asks, how can you be so certain that that is the conclusion? V'dilma b'shoyseis. Maybe the water, as it runs over his arm, it reaches the edge of his fingers, let's say, that are positioned at the edge of the barrel. The water drops vertically into the barrel, so that you don't have a situation of it being over the airspace. It comes from the edge of his arm, directly, vertically, downward into the barrel, without airspace. Maybe that's the situation. And if you say that, then you cannot come to the conclusion that avir kli is kikli. Amalei, so Rabbi Chiya responds to Rabbi Zera and says, tarda. A very seemingly insulting expression, but for the sake of clarification, he apparently had to use a rather hard term. The note at the side explains that there's another girsa, but the alternative girsa implies shaita murid rear. He refers to him as a fool who's drooling drool. Rashi says tarda shaita bohul, a confounded fool. But he nevertheless uses this very harsh expression, and he says, how can you even raise the question that you raised on Rabbi Yochanan's conclusion? The lashon of the source was, and we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, and you can find a parallel arrow at the opposite, the first wide line of the Gemara. The original source from which Rabbi Yochanan drew his conclusion said, "Kidei sheyavru mayim lechavis tnan." The expression "kidei sheyavru mayim," so that the water shall pass over into the barrel, indicates that it's not shoseis. The words themselves indicate that it's not a vertical drop into the barrel. And hence, you should never have even questioned the conclusion that Rabbi Yochanan reached. The Omer Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, me'eduso shel Rabbi Tzadok, nishneis mishna zu. The source that we had above, that spoke about the passing of the water over non-mekabel tuma substances, that teaching, that source was a source taught by Rabbi Tzadok. Before we go further, let's just remind ourselves that in the source above we have a double underline under Ale Egoizim. Let's now, with that in mind, continue. Disnan Hayid Rabbi Tzadok Al Hazochalin Shekilchan BeAle Egoizim Sheheng Sherim. Rabbi Tzadok said over a tradition that he had regarding the flowing water that flowed over the Alei Egozim, that the water is kosher, the water is not ruined. Zehoya Maisa Bo'Aliya, that's the name of a place, Obo Maisa Lefnei Chachomim B'Lishkas Hagozis, and this issue came up to the sages in the Lishkas Hagozis, was the place that the Sanhedrin sat, right off the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash, v'hichshiru, and they rule that it's kosher. So that you can see that Rabbi Tzadok said over testimony concerning the Aleh Gozim. That was the example that was used in the source above. So we conclude that the above unnamed source was taught over by Rabbi Tzadok, or it was composed based on the testimony of Rabbi Tzadok. As you can see in our Gemara markings, we have a slash in the Gemara that indicates that which follows is a new idea. On the side of our Gemara, we have a nosei heading, topic heading, mum shinase bein shchita lekabola sadam. We'll talk about a blemish that appears on an animal or is formed on an animal after the sacrifice is slaughtered, before the dam is received. We're dealing with a very momentary point in time, but nevertheless, we have to focus on this for the sake of deriving certain halachic principles. Once again, a mum, a blemish in general, ruins a korban from being acceptable. When does the blemish appear? After it was slaughtered, before the dam was received. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hatsorim Oizen Hapar. Tsoreim is an indication of making a mum, making a it's a type of slit or crack in the ear of the animal that represents a mum. That's a type of blemish, and he did this when, after it was slaughtered, the achakach kibel domoi, after making this slit in the animal's ear, he then was mekabel the dam. This is a mum between shechita and kabbalah. Puzzle. Rabbi Yochanan rules that this is an unfit sacrifice. Shenamar, the pasuk says, and now this pasuk is found in the context of what's called a par kohen moshiach. That's a korban that's brought by the kohen gadol in the case that he issues an erroneous legal ruling and acts upon it. And it's for our sugi, it's important simply to note that this is a type of koche kochim, high level sanctity animal. And the pasuk says in the context of the par kohen moshiach, v'lokach midam hapar. V'lokach is a reference to kabbalas adam. Par shohoya kvar, which we understand to mean that it has to be shalem. The par has to be without blemish at the point of kabbalas adam. It has to be at the point of kabbalas adam the same way it was at the point of shechita. In other words, there should be no change in the status of the animal between shechita and kabbalah. Ashkechon kochei kochim. So this restriction or stringency we have found applies to a case of kochei kochim, high level sanctity animals, sacrifices. Kochim kalim and all. And what about lighter types of sacrifices? Will the same restriction apply, with the same insistence that it remain without mum up till the point of kabbalah as well? Kochim kalim includes korbanos like a shlomim, bechor, a meiser behema. Omar Rava Tanya. So Rava cites, in attempting to answer the question concerning kochim kalim, the following source. Se Tomim Zohar Ben Shana. This is a pasuk in the context of a Korban Pesach. And the pasuk teaches us rules concerning what is fit to be brought as a Korban Pesach. And it says, She Tomim Uben Shana Bishas Shchita. That it should be, Tomim means without mum, and it should be under a year old. Ben Shana means not more than a year old, at the point of its Shchita. Bekabola Behoilocha Bezrika Minayin. How do we know that these rules apply also to the animal at the point of kabbalas adam, the carrying of the dam to the mizbeach and the sprinkling of the dam? Tamad lomar yiyeh kol havayosav lo yu ela tom uben shana. That all of the procedures, all of its havayos, the procedures in processing a korban, shall be when it is tam. This is the main point for our discussion, and it must be also a ben shana. Esve Abaye. Abaye raises an objection. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol Hazvochim Shabbatiro, Shinishtayer Mehem Kezayas Bosro Kezayas Chelev. Zorek Es Hadam. All sacrifices that, let us say, after you shechted the korban and did Kabbalah Sadam, something happened that most of the meat got lost, or the chelev is part of the animal that's offered on the Mizbeach, most of it got lost and there remains only an olive size worth of meat, olive size quantity of meat or olive size quantity of chelev, and that's all that remains of the korban, and you haven't done Zrika Sadam yet, so Rabbi Yeshua says go ahead, do Zrika Sadam. Well, if that be the case, you don't have a baal mum gadol mizeh. There isn't a bigger expression of a blemish than this case. What's left of the animal? Just a kazayis of bosr, just a small amount of flesh, and still it's acceptable for processing the korban. Well, what about the source just before that said that all of the havoyos it has to be complete? The Gemara answers, Tirgumo Aben Shona. Abaye explains the previous source that said that all of the actions have to be the same way as it was at the point of Shechita. That is true with regard to the age. That's with regard to it remaining under a year old. Namely, it's not sufficient that the animal is under a year old at the point of Shechita, but it must remain being under a year old even a couple minutes later when you're going to be doing the other processes. But as far as the tam requirement, that's not a requirement as far as the sources are concerned. A little bit later then, we're going to have to come back to the issue of, well, if that's the case, then by Kochim Kalim and Kabbalah Sadam, what's the story? If at Shechit it has to be Tam, what about at Kabbalah Sadam? That was a question that was raised a moment before. We'll try to get back to that point in a moment. But right now, the sources that we have at hand say as follows, that as far as the requirement of Ben Shana, it must be a Ben Shana, not just at the time of Shechita, but also it shall remain a Ben Shana for a few minutes later. To include the time of Kabbalah Sadam, Holocha, and Zrika. As far as our insistence that the animal remains tam for all of those procedures, all the way including Zrika, no. We see that when you reach the point of Zrika, if it's not tam, in other words, if you have just a Kezias of Basar that remains, it's still okay. The Gemara asks, Umiiko midi, could it possibly be the Bishas Shechita ben Shana, Bishas Hoylocha Uzrika ben Shtayim, that an animal was a ben Shana at the point of Shechita, and that it would go into its second year? When it says ben Shtayim, it doesn't mean a full 2 years, it means it lapses into its second year. Just a couple seconds later, after the Shechita, before the Shechita, it was under a year old. After the Shechita, it goes into its next year. How could that be? Omar Rava, Zosamaris, this shows you, Shois Poislois Bekochim, that when dealing with the age of a korban, we establish its age based on the minute of birth. Apparently, from this Gemara, it seems that people who were interested in providing animals from their herds and flocks, they would record the time of birth of the animals. And the record of time was up till the minute. So that if you had an animal that was born, let us say, a year ago, at 10 in the morning, or let's say at 3 in the afternoon, on the 14th of Nisan, the 14th of Nisan is the time for shechting a Korban Pesach. So I have an animal that I know was born at, I know it was born at 3 in the afternoon a year ago, on Yud Dalet Nisan a year ago, and now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon a year later, this animal is already into its second year. Therefore, if we follow that example, if it was born on three, if this animal was born 3 in the afternoon on Yud Daled Nisan, I had better take care of it. I had better finish the Shechita, the Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika by 2:59 in the afternoon a year later. That way, it's still within its year. That's called Shois Poislis Bekoshim. That even the hours make a difference with regard to sacrifices. And what about the issue of Kodshim Kalim and Kabbalas Hadam and it remaining Tumim, not only at the time of Shechita must it be without a blemish, but at the time of Kabbalas Hadam as well? So Rashi explains this is true. It must remain Tam at the point of Kabbalas Hadam for Kodshim Kalim as well, and that's derived from Hoyol Degoli, since it was revealed in the case of Kodshei Kodshim, and that we proved from the Pasuk concerning the Parakoy Mashiach, so too is the case with regard to Kodshim Kalim. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.